Right, Sarah was talking about this need to, you know, I suppose take control and...
Well, let go of control, really, and just to have a build up a strong foundation. Well,
I'm trying to take control after the panic of losing the radio station, Sarah. I can barely think straight at the moment. I've gone into the fear place, I'm afraid, rather than the happiness one.
Well, what I was actually saying was basically the reason why we're talking about things like happiness and fear is that your emotional well-being is actually really important, is for depending on your quality of life and also your health, because it's important to build up a very strong foundation. So you need to iron out all the creases in yourself, really, all the things that get in the way of you living a happy and fulfilled life. And this is why we're talking about fear and also happiness today. And we'll be looking at other emotions as well over the next coming weeks and how to deal with them as well. Terry's got a little story to tell us. It's a nice little story about a happy beggar. Do you want to go and tell them the story then, Terry?
Yeah. I'm just finishing gulping down my my orange water, my aromatic orange water, which is guaranteed, I've been told, to make me feel very calm at this point. I'm right. Thank you for that, Sarah. I think that that happiness is one of those. Again, this is one of the things where I'm just like, oh, happiness. Yes, that sounds good. We can talk about happy, lovely things. And then when I started sort of really thinking about it, it just sort of made me think, oh, this is probably a lot more complicated again than I thought. I thought that happiness would be the kind of straightforward, happy, laughing cousin of, you know, the dark fear and, you know, that conversation that we had last week. Part of my my research did show up that around sort of even 400 BC, our greatest philosophers, Plato and Socrates, were also, you know, trying to define what happiness is. And I found this story, in fact, I found it in a big pile of papers that I have lying around. So I don't know how old it is, or I don't know where it comes from. It's something that I printed off or someone's handed to me at some point. But it did seem to make a kind of sense. And it's the story of the happy beggar. And it's a story about a beggar who's sitting on the side of a road. And this old man has been on the road for many years. And a stranger approaches him one afternoon. And he says, spare some change, please. And he shakes his tin cup. And the stranger looks at him and he says, I'm sorry, I have nothing to give you. And the beggar turns away in disgust, and, you know, and then the stranger asked him, what's that you're sitting on? And nothing, the beggar told him, it's just an old box. I've been sitting on it for as long as I can remember. Have you ever looked inside? Asked the stranger. Why? The beggar replied, what's the point? There's nothing in there. The stranger insisted. He said, have a look inside. The beggar refused at first and then finally decided to pry the lid open. With astonishment, disbelief, and elation, he saw that the box was filled with gold. Now, this is a story about enlightenment, and we spend our lives begging for what we already possess and seeking what we've already found, even if we don't know it. What it says to us is that what we need is already there. And that's what it means to find the gold inside the box. We stop begging and start feeling grateful. We investigate our inner realms. We learn to spend the riches we find there. We release ourselves from the wheels of addiction that turn us on an endless round of craving, dissatisfaction, and more craving. And then we step off and we step back and we discover our true wealth in ourselves, and with it we find happiness. And this enlightenment is the act of retrieval, I suppose, the act of returning to ourselves It's also the end of this constant seeking that we find ourselves trapped in, this realization that there's nowhere to go. So we open the box and we stand back amazed. And who knew that we were hiding such luster. Sarah, what makes you happy?
Well, all sorts of things make me happy, really. I find that simple things make me happy in life, and I think it's best to try not to overcomplicate things. You know, just simple little things like my dogs make me happy, my family makes me happy. But what's made me happy really is actually all the work that I've done on myself and the work that I've done over the years, and of just making sure that I'm not suffering in any way, or I'm not being hard on myself in any way, and that I'm living the life that I want to be living, and I'm treating others how I would like to be treated myself. And just those sort of things really make me happy. And just little things, really, I think. Just like friends and dancing. Dancing always really makes me happy. Music makes me happy. Lots of things make me happy. But to be honest, I would actually have to say it is taken a while to actually reach a point where I feel contented and happy. And that has been by facing my demons. Obviously, I've still got some demons, but working through them and recognizing them and just moving on in life as well, and realizing the best way for me to be happy. And the best way for me to be is to make sure that I'm in a nice, comfortable place. I've got nice people that I hang around with, and that I spend my days doing things that I want to do, rather than just feeling like I'm having to do things, or I'm spending day in, day out doing things I don't want to do. I don't have to do anything like that, so I'm very fortunate, and they're the sort of things that make me happy. I was going to tell the story about, is it Plato? Plato? And he was around 4400 BC, and this just goes to show that not much has really changed since then. And when it comes to things like happiness and love and anger and all them kind of things, it doesn't really change over the years. So what Plato says is, and this, like I said, is a quote from 400 BC, "The man who makes everything that leads to happiness depend upon himself and not upon another man has adapted the way, the very best for living happily." And that's basically what he's saying to me. What I can see is that your happiness depends on you, and it depends on each individual person. You cannot pin your happiness on anybody else, because it won't happen then.
Yep. I mean, that certainly seems to be the message that's coming through right back from, you know, 400 BC. I mean, it is astonishing. I just find it really astonishing that, I suppose, we've just got this huge legacy of people really striving for the same things, to try and find answers to these very fundamental things that drive us. And Devon Sproul, if you're listening, you make me very happy. She's just this fantastic singer. And I was listening to her CD today, and it was really one of those things. And I was thinking about it, and I suddenly had this huge burst of happiness. And it really was a huge burst of happiness. I'm driving along and I'm singing away at the top of my voice. And I suddenly thought, this is when I listened to Devon Sproul. I listened to her in the spring. I listened to her when, you know, kind of when the sap's rising, and it was this afternoon. So there was, you know, there was a tad tiny bit of sunshine, and I've just been waiting for this sunshine with such kind of desperation almost. And I also find kind of at this time of year, if the car's got leather seats, I'm kind of fumbling with it and plumping it up a bit. It's a really sort of quite bizarre, yes, but sensual experience. And it's, you know, and I should say it's not a given, yes, just in case any of my family are listening, my family, my friends, my beautiful dogs, you know, having the privilege to be working in, within nature, all of that, yes, does make me very happy. But kind of this, you know, this work that we do to achieve happiness, I'm not sure that I've ever really sat down and thought of it like that. Although today, as part of my preparation for this show, I did some John Kasat-Zinn body scan meditation. He's this mindfulness guy, and I spent a bit of time listening to him as well on the on YouTube, and he's great. And it was really lovely because I did this kind of this mindful meditation. I just kept drifting in and out of sleep, so I felt just so refreshed afterwards. So that was probably some endorphins or something kicking in. But I did quickly just want to go through the kind of the mediators of our moods, which are our kind of neurotransmitters and things, just to try and put it in that perspective, happiness, which is interesting again, because it is one of these chicken and egg things. Is it the neurotransmitters that lead us, or is it our brain interpreting the environment, which means we have more control? Is it under the control of our body, our physical responses, or do we mediate that? How do we mediate that? But the chemical messengers of the brain, the happiness chemicals, are our endorphins, dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin. But what the brain does is the brain doesn't kind of release these in great bursts all the time. They're actually in limited ways. They're for specific aims. And our endorphins, they're released to mask pain. Dopamine is released as a reward. It's something that energizes us. The oxytocin is triggered when we're in a place where we trust people around us. It's the one that promotes the sort of bonding between mother and child, and also, you know, us with our dogs, we have the same bonding. Serotonin, it's when we kind of it's a strange one, serotonin, but it makes us feel kind of optimistic and secure, and it boosts our self-esteem, as well as all the other kind of physiological responses that it has in the body. And our brain likes these chemicals so much that we do in fact try to figure out how to get more of them. And we know from observations of apes that they groom each other, and it's part of them being, well, them stimulating their oxytocin. And, you know, they dominate their troop mates. That stimulates their serotonin. They will invest time in teasing little termites out of a mound, which stimulates the dopamine. Unlike us, they're not known to sort of hurt themselves in order to get an endorphin high. And I was kind of thinking about that. I was giggling because I was thinking, well, maybe that's that 50 Shades of Grey stuff coming through. Maybe, you know, maybe this is where that kind of sadistic sex thing comes from. And, you know, we do know that people do all sorts of things once they find out that it stimulates their endorphins or their dopamine or their oxytocin or their serotonin. There are also lots of herbs and foods which, you know, which we can take, which will really boost these neurotransmitters as well. And things like dandelion, those kind of herbs are fantastic. You know, the ones that are really nurturing, nourishing. Things like oat straw, angelica, peppermint. So peppermint tea and things is going to give your dopamine. It's going to give you kind of, as well as a kind of relaxing kind of happiness, it's going to give you, it's going to energize you. I'm trying to think where I'm going with this. I can't remember now. I've gone off on a tangent. I'm so sorry, Sarah.
That's fine. Well, you was just telling us about the physical and what happens in the body really when you get happy, but happiness isn't a constant thing, and that's an important thing to remember. Is you're not going to be ecstatically happy on a constant level. You know, things do happen, and you know, you have to deal with them as they arise. And as that saying goes, that I've always used, is a lot of the time when something bad happens, you do get that feeling of where you're going to either got to laugh or cry, you know, because it does come from a similar place, your sorrow and your happiness. The laughing and crying are both a really good form of release. And I always say, why cry when you can laugh? I always do. So it's important to laugh. It really is important to laugh. You're actually doing your health a lot of good. You're releasing old emotions. You're releasing energy, and you're actually doing yourself loads of good by laughing. So it's something I would greatly encourage as a medicine. Yeah, and someone's just put in the chat, you cry when you're happy as well. Yeah, you do. You can cry with happiness. And sometimes when I've been told bad news, I've laughed. Like I said, it is just a release, isn't it? That's all it is. And the way I've worked at it over time is I've thought about it. Is like you know, do I deserve to feel happiness? Is often a question I've asked myself. And then and the answer I always have is yes, of course I deserve to be happy. Why wouldn't I deserve to be happy? As long as, you know. So then from that point of realizing that I do deserve to be happy, and I'm just trying to do everything kind of basically how I've come to view things personally, you know. And then I look
Sorry,
at
love.
it's okay. Then I look at things about what has made me feel content or happy, or you know, just satisfied with my everyday to day life, you know, like when you're getting up in the morning and you're like, yeah, it's another day, great, you know, rather than thinking, oh God, another day. You know, I've had to work with things quite a lot over the time and make sure that I don't sacrifice myself for other people, and it's still something I do work on now, to be honest. You know, I haven't completely mastered that one. I'm just human like everyone else, and this is why it's good to be doing this conversations with Terry and everyone else, is to actually hear what other people have got to say on this as well. So it'd be really great if people did start phoning in to our show.
Yeah, because I'm going to run out of things to say in a moment. Given that today I was feeling very happy because I'd actually written some stuff down, and then I realized I've lost it, which made me feel not quite so happy. So I'm going to be, yes, just interjecting with things, and hopefully they will have some kind of relevance
Well,
to
that's
what we're
why I w
talking about.
well, that's why I was saying that it's not a constant thing, this happiness, is it? Like, lots of people strive for happiness and want to be really, really happy or whatever, but it's not a constant thing, you know. You just got to make sure that you don't. You just got to make sure that you personally are living by the way you want to live. So you're not doing things that you don't want to be doing. You're not doing things that are going to make you feel unhappy or unsatisfied with yourself. You're not getting yourself into situations and giving what you don't want to be giving. You need to be able to stand your ground as a human being and as a person within your own right, and be able to say, well, no, I w don't want to do that today. I don't want to do what that person wants me to do. I want to do what I want to do. I want to, you know, and you really can't get down this road of bending over backwards for other people all the time and stuff like that.
I think that there's this, you know, there's this whole thing though, that I think it's about what is, you know, again we come back to what is happiness. I mean, I mean, some people will get trapped in that thing, like it's said in the Happy Beggar sort of story, about trying to, you know, just kind of to fill the space where happiness is with something that really isn't there. You know, things like, you know, we'll get into that thing of kind of self-gratification, where we're just going out and we're buying things, or we're you know, or you know, people become addicted to sex. So it's all the things that make us, you know, that kind of will boost our neurotransmitters, which will make us, you know, which will give us these feelings. But it's not that kind of deep contentedness that you were talking about. And we can become trapped in that kind of, in that cycle of, you know, really trying lots of things and thinking that if we don't have those things and we don't have more of those things, that that's what's making us unhappy. But in fact, it's I think about a sort of a loneliness or a hole deep within us. And at that point, we do need to kind of to turn in and to reflect.
Yes.
You know, it's very nice having, you know, things like, I don't know, a, you know, lovely warm, cozy new jumper or something like that, and if you're feeling a bit low, it makes you feel a bit special, or
for a few
all
minutes
of these for a few minutes, yeah. Or it may be that, you know, that it just needs that some little thing for a few minutes, but it's very, very kind of seductive in that, you know, really we should have the courage. I think it takes a lot of courage sometimes to sit within ourselves and to think what is, you know, what is really going on here? What do I need to,
it's so important
to
as well,
feel?
Though.
And I think as well, we kind of intellectualize a lot of things, and we're in that kind of place quite a lot of, you know, quite a lot of the time. It's awkward and embarrassing sometimes in our culture, you know, to expose your emotions. Things like happiness actually is an emotion that people find acceptable, as long as it's not kind of manic and, you know, and too kind of, oh, sort
that's
of false
not,
and fake.
That's not being grounded again, isn't it?
It's definitely not being grounded. But people, you know, but... You know, most of, you know, I suppose the things which are difficult are the things that it's hard to engage with. And a lot of this work as well, we have to do on our own. And in the main, we're quite social creatures. I think we're finding that increasingly hard. And particularly
yeah.
Now where we've got all the kind of, you know, social media and everything, it's very hard to be alone. Usually you have to get out of your environment. You have to go and walk in a wood, or, you know, you have to be able to sort of, you know, to take yourself away from this kind of constant busyness. And that can be a challenge.
Yeah, but I'm all right with spending time on my own. I've done quite a lot of spending time on my own because I've made a conscious decision in my life that I want to explore life and what makes people tick and what is it all about and everything. And the best way that I can do that is by looking at myself and channeling my energy into myself and seeing what affects me and what doesn't affect me. And one thing that I learned a long time ago is not to take life personally as well, and not to take on other people's issues, and not to judge other people for their behavior or their way of being, you know. And like I said, not to take it personally, because that's something that used to get in the way of my happiness quite a lot, is taking things personally. You know what I mean? We've all got our problems, we've all got our issues, and we've all got our stuff to work through, which manifests in different ways in different people. And that's why it's important not to actually take it too much personally, you know, and take it to heart. You know, happiness is not an absence of problems. It doesn't mean that you don't have things happening to you. It doesn't mean that shit don't happen, basically, because what it does mean is it means that you're on a more of a level and even keel to be able to deal with it, to have the strength to deal with it, and not to allow it to overtake your life and to shape the person that you are. You know, you have the strength and the strength to move forward in life. And that's actually a really important thing as well, is learning when it is important to move away from things and to move on from things, and to have the right attitude about things in life as well. A lot of the time we look at things with the wrong attitude, rather than something, looking at something that's happened to you in the day and just being able, oh, well, never mind. A lot of people think, oh, it's always me, it's always going to happen to me, and people take on that sort of what I would call victim mentality. And, you know, you don't need to. Things happen to everyone, and it doesn't really matter. What matters is how you deal with it, really, you know, and the strength you have to move forward in life and to keep a constant happiness. And I find that I can do that a lot better by the fact that I've actually got to know myself pretty well over the years, and I've got to know myself pretty well to the level of what does make me feel, or touch my buttons, or press my buttons, I mean. What does press my buttons, and what does make me feel happy, and what I don't like. And I think it's important for each of us to actually do that, and to look at, take a step back. You know, if somebody's saying something to you and having a conversation with you, and you're taking offence, and you feel hurt by it, and that person's not intending on doing that, you know, you need to look at why you're getting offended, why you feel the need, why you're putting, what is it, the word I'm looking for, conditions on you, you know, it's that conditions. You know, if you think so, you think it's just because somebody won't accept your help for something or your assistance in something, you think people take it to heart, you know, well, there's no reason to, because they just might like doing their own thing. They might like carrying their own bags or cooking their own dinner. They, you know, and they might not actually see what you're seeing as a problem. So it's often good to actually say, oh, actually, I'm feeling a bit uncomfortable with this situation at the moment. Where are you coming from? I'm not quite sure. And to actually explore where you are and explore what's making you feel happy and explore what's making you feel sad or explore what's making you feel fearful or any of these emotions or feelings. And that way you know exactly where you are. You know, you can have a lot more power onto what sort of mood you are in and how other people can affect you. You know, I just touched slightly on conditions, because a lot of people put conditions on happiness. You know, they think, okay, to be happy, I need to go out, I need to find myself a man, have a husband, have some children, get myself a decent job, have a half-decent car and a decent house and this, that and the other. And they put all their conditions onto that's what will make them happy. But it isn't any of them things that make you happy. What makes you happy is you.
Well, according to the story of the happy beggar, you appear to be reaching enlightenment, Sarah, because you are engaged in the act of retrieval and returning to yourself, and also ending this constant seeking and realizing there's nowhere to go apart from yourself. So that's really, I mean, it's this, I think for a lot of us, it is this searching for happiness through sort of pleasures and self-gratification. I mean, I know that, you know, that I do it. I know that, you know, I try hard not to, but I know that, you know, if I get, you know, I'll think, oh, I really, really want those raised beds. I know that's not probably one that would turn anyone else on, but for me, you know, I'm really lusting after raised beds at the moment, and I'll go up to where my polytunnel is, and I'll look at the fact that I haven't got raised beds, and I'm going to look at all the work that I'm going to have to do. And so I'm sort of thinking to myself, right, what I've got to do is I've got to get some money so I can get these raised beds. And I did find myself in a real, not a good place yesterday. So, and then I started kind of worrying about it. And a little bit prior to that, I'd actually been feeling really grounded and really okay. And I got my seeds in, and I was feeling really, you know, really, really wonderful about that. But then I was thinking, my God, where am I going to put these seeds? The whole place has been devastated by this, this weather that we've been having, and I did find myself going into that kind of spiral thing. And I came back and, you know, crammed down half a bar of chocolate and just went straight into that sort of thing of self-gratification. And this is only in kind of looking at the kind of micro things. The whole macro whole sort of, you know, the larger picture, I still find really difficult to, you know, to look at. I don't, you know, I really don't think that I've got a kind of, you know, a handle on this in the same way. I mean, I can talk the talk if I have to, but in terms of how it is, you know, how it is, you know, within me, it's probably, you know, I still do, you know, I do struggle with it. You know, sometimes my glass is half full and sometimes it is half empty. And I don't expect there to be, you know, great rivers of happiness washing through. But I still find myself getting drawn into that kind of, you know, trying, using external things to kind of, to, you know, to prop me up rather than kind of examining my internal world. And it is, and it does draw me, you know, makes me minded to the discussion that we'd had last week, which was about the happiness, and you were kind of drawing down the love and feeling better about things, and I'm thinking, right, I'm going to draw down the love, I'm going to feel better about things. And all week I've been trying to draw down the love, but I haven't quite really got what it means, really, if I'm going to be straight talking here. And I keep thinking, God, how do I go about drawing down the love?
Well, all you really need to do is just be grounded. Like I keep saying, don't worry about anything. You know, love is inside you. You know, you just need to acknowledge what you've got inside you and just acknowledge who you are, you know, and what sort of person you want to be. It's not necessarily, it's, you're trying to pull things in again, and it's like, you just need to chill. And just be grounded, really. Drink lots of water and just do little bits of what you enjoy doing, you know. And the more you are like that, and the more energy you feel going out your feet and everything like that, the easier things get.
Do you think that it's a question of language here then? Because I do spend quite a lot of time being grounded, and I do, you know, I do sort of think, you know, I don't feel bad about myself inside. In fact, you know, I do, you know, I like myself. I, you know, I don't have huge issues or problems that I'm struggling with. I mean, the ones probably that most people have got, I imagine I've got. But I, you know, it's that kind of, you know, when I hear things like, kind of like, you know, you draw down the love, and I'm like, not
you
quite
just
sure
open
what
your
it means.
Heart. You just open your heart to receive, you know. I receive with grace, you know. They say that's one of the 11th commandment or something. And it's a really good one, that, you know, I receive with grace. You know, I wouldn't worry too much about it, you know. You just got to open your heart and stay grounded. It really is just as simple as that, really. And just stay focused on that. And if you are feeling upset about things, you've got to allow yourself to feel upset about things as well. I get upset about things. Sometimes I feel lonely. Sometimes I feel stressed. Sometimes I feel fearful. Sometimes I feel anxious. And sometimes I feel great. Sometimes I feel so excited that I'm like I'm on a spring. And that's totally ungrounded as well. I can't think straight, and then things start going wrong around me because I'm so excited, I'm so energetic, and I'm bouncing around, I can't sleep, and I just can't wait, I can't stop thinking. You can hear I'm speeding up now, and I just go faster and faster and faster and faster. And that's really bad. Like, even though it might feel great, it's actually, it is really bad place to be, because I start knocking things over, and like I said, I can't sleep, and then because things are starting to go wrong a bit, and I'm in that hyper sort of mood, I'm like, oh God, and it, you know, that's another reason why it's important to be grounded, because you can feel too ecstatic. Sometimes I really do get that. I like it too excited, I can't even sleep, and then I get grounded. I have to get grounded again, you know. But I feel energies pretty well and pretty easily, and I. I did try and explain to you before, you know, about feeling energies with that, with the bouncing balloon, you know, when you pretend like you've got a balloon in your hand and you bounce it backwards and forwards, and you just make sure your crown chakra is just clear. And just, if you're a bit worried about that, just wave your hand around with the intent above your head that you're clearing it, and just intend that, say that you're clear, you know.
What was that waving my hand around above my head?
You just get your hand and just say you're clearing your crown chakra. That's what I do sometimes. I don't know if these are tried and tested methods, but they work for me anyway. So I just like to wave my hand around a bit above my head, like you've got a fly there or something. And then, yeah, just sort of with the intent of, like, clearing your energies and just getting your energies up to the source, your connection up to the source and down to the crystalline centre of the earth. And then you're fully connected. Yeah, it's the intent, really, like Paul's just saying up here. It's your intent behind things that is what's important, really. It's nothing else. You know, there's all sorts of different methods of doing the same thing. And all that really matters is, some people like to go through a lot of palaver, and I've never really been one of them people, never been very ritual. Like, I've always been sort of somebody who likes, I think, as soon as I was told it's your intent, I was like, well, that makes it a lot easier then, doesn't it? Because that's it then, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
All you have to do is have your intent to be connected to the source, connected to the crystalline center of Mother Earth, or the center of Mother Earth, or however you want to do it, say it. Some people say the Earth's hollow, so God knows what, you know. So just that's it, really, your intent. So, and like I said, it's important to be grounded and keep on as much of an even keel as you possibly can, not this up and down, up and down, up and down, you know. That's like, you know, that's why you don't want to be doing that. I have got the tendency to get it like that myself, and that's why I work so hard. Well, I don't work so hard, but that's why I'm trying to make that point so much about being grounded, you know, and appreciating and having gratitude for just the simple little things in life, you know, the simple things like your friends and people being friendly, the nice friendly man in the butcher shop, or the nice friendly man in the veggie shop, you know, just, or the nice woman you meet when you're walking your dog, or whatever, you know, just a nice chat you have with your mates, just simple little things. You really, you know, if you want to feel like happy and content with life, you're not going to do it unless you actually just are content and happy with little simple things. You know, if it's not thinking a big brand new car that's going to make you happy, or living in a massive house that makes you happy, or having the prettiest wife or the handsomest husband and all these things, that they're not going to make you happy. None of them are going to make you happy. And being open to change as well is another thing that is, you know, change is inevitable. And if things do not go according to plan, so what, you know, if... doesn't matter, does it? You know, not much goes according to plan. My plans, doesn't bother me.
Well, that's that. This too will pass, isn't it?
Mm.
I love that saying. This too will pass. It seems to work for everything. I mean, I quite sort of, in the old Ayurvedic way, I think I'm probably just quite kind of a kaffir. I tend not to to fly around all over the place. Although I have to say, now I'm perimenopausal, my hormones have been leading me a bit of a merry dance now and again. And that was, you know, that was a bit shocking, you know, to suddenly find myself swinging around. But I do, and I will, you know, obviously kind of will take herbs and things to balance that. And I think this sort of mindfulness that you're talking about the small things. I mean, I'd say that's possibly my approach to happiness, is that, you know, I'm quite meticulous about the small things. I know that whole idea of, you know, you keep yourself beshined, you know, you work out the things, the people that are important to you, and you honour them and you give thanks for them. And, you know, you don't just put them away and forget them and take them for granted. Although to some of them, they may think that at times. But, you know, that you do, that you take things out and you know, you shine them, you keep them well, and you keep them carefully, and you know, you look after them, and you keep them precious and close, and that's
Yeah.
also good things, you know, within yourself. And it is this, you know, this whole idea of intent. You know, we try to do things in a way that, you know, that doesn't harm other people. I mean, sometimes I think this whole quest for happiness that goes on, because it's so kind of narcissistic and self-obsessed, it, you know, it leaves, you know, trails of destruction in its wake. And, you know, proper happiness shouldn't do that. You know, happiness should be something that, you know, is quietly yours, but that you can, you know, that other people can enjoy, but certainly it should never be anything that harms them and that's, you know, that is at the expense of somebody else.
No.
That's, you know, that's not, although, you know, the person at that point may feel happy if it's cost somebody else, you know, something, then that's, you know, that's not good. So being mindful in that way. And again, it's not just about our relationships. Well, for me, it's not just about our relationship with other human beings. It extends right across the board. It extends into, you know, the energy that we, you know, that we give out. It extends to our relationships with, you know, the other beings that live on this planet. And, you know, this planet itself, it's not, you know, it's not just about how human beings remain happy, keep ourselves happy, you know, at the, to the cost of all else.
Well, no, yeah, no harm, isn't it? No harm, no loss. I do like that saying, because that's how I like to. I wouldn't want to harm anyone. That would never make me happy. I always want people to do what they want to do, and I do ask them. I do like people. What do you want me to do? And I'll say, well, what do you want to do? You know, you have to do what you want to do. I don't want anybody to do anything that they don't want to do. You know. You know, sometimes we do have to do things that we don't want to do, like I have to pick up my dog shit out of the garden and stuff like that, you know. Obviously.
Shit happens.
But that's cool, you know, that's fine. I don't mind doing that, because, and then when it comes to things like that, it's always good to focus on the end result. The end result is that my garden's clean and tidy. You know, a lot of happiness, I do think, is down to your thought processes and the way you view things and your intent. You know, so you really need to look at what you're thinking. When you're doing things and when you're not feeling happy, what are you thinking? What are the thoughts and the processes that are going through your head that are making you unhappy? Because that is what's making you unhappy. It's what you're thinking, you know. So you need to adjust that into something that's positive and something that works for you, rather than thinking, I want this, I haven't got this, I'm hard done by because of this. We've all been there. You just need to think, oh well, this has happened to me, but that's okay, because I know that I can work through it, and I know that I'm going to come out the other end, and I know that in a week's time I'm going to feel better, in 2 weeks' time I'm going to feel better. You know, the way I like to try and look at myself is like I'm a work in process. You know, I'm working on myself each and every day. I'm getting better and better in every way. It's one of these affirmations I used to say quite a lot. And it is. You need to work on yourself. Everyone does. And if everyone concentrated on themselves and worked on themselves, imagine how wonderful this place would be, this world would be. If everyone became more thoughtful about their thought processes and about the impact that they personally was having on their own lives, as well as others around them, then we wouldn't have any of these problems that we have now. So that's why this show, and that's why I really, really wanted to do this show, is because it does, the change does start with the individual. We're very fortunate in this part of the world, you know, for the, you know, that majority of us are in houses, we don't go hungry, blah blah, you know, we have all our needs seen to in this part of the world. You know, all we need to do is just work on ourselves, and this will be such a better world. Our next generation, imagine that, if all these generations, everyone here now decided, that's it, I'm going to make sure that I work on myself, I'm going to come from a good place, I'm going to let the love into my heart, and I'm going to live a happy and prosperous and full life. And that's what you passed on to the next generation. That's how they knew to be. And then everyone, you know, it's just phenomenal what will happen. So everyone, just take that little bit of time out and just take that little bit of a step back. Think about what you're thinking. Think about the thought processes that are going in your head, round in your head. You're not a victim. You're only a victim if you feel like you're a victim. That's the only reason you're a victim. So many people have been through so many things, so much stuff, and they've come out the other end really strong, really tough, lovely people, full of love and full of light, because that's what they have decided to do. They have decided to work through everything that they've been through in their life, not patch it over, not drink their way through it, not do loads of heroin to get through it, not do anything like that. They've decided, I'm going to do this, I'm going to work through this and become a stronger and better person for it. And thank you very much for all these lessons that you've given me, to anyone that who has done anything. And just thank you. Thank you to anyone who has ever upset me that I've decided to upset me. Thank you, because you are, and helped make me realise where I want to be today. So thank you, anyone who's ever upset me. Cheers. Love you.
Oh God, you're going to start getting on. This brings us on to next week's, doesn't it? Which is forgiveness, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, we're talking about forgiveness.
Me for saying.
Yep, we're talking about forgiveness next week, because... Well, it is a very important thing, isn't it? You know, we've all been through things, and we've all held grudges, and we've all felt anger towards other people, and we've all been there and done that. And so what I want to know really is, what do people think, this is for next week anyway, so for people to take on board, is who does forgiveness benefit? If you decide you're going to forgive somebody for upsetting you or causing you harm, as you interpret it, who do you think benefits from you forgiving them? And that is the question that I'd like to leave in people's heads for until next week. Should we just recap on this week? So we've only got 3 minutes left.
We can, but may I first say that in terms of forgiveness, this is another one that is going to phase me slightly, rather predictably now, this is becoming. So yes, carry on.
Okay. All right then. So I'll just sum up what we've just spoken about. Basically, the conclusion that I've come to, me personally, what makes you happy is what thought processes you're going through on a day-to-day basis, how you choose to receive other people's actions, whether you choose to receive it in a hurtful manner, become a victim, or whether you choose to stand in your own power and to just sort of bounce it off you. You don't have to take it on. You don't have to take other people's stuff on, because that is what you're doing at the end of the day if you allow other people to hurt you. So, everyone's got the strength and the personal power to be able to be loving human beings, and that's what we all need to work towards. And so happiness is definitely achievable and definitely something that everybody should have, and definitely everybody deserves it. Even if you do look back in your life and think, fucking hell, I've been a right wanker, excuse my language, but you've got need to just sort of like say, okay, well, I'm not going to be that kind of person anymore. As of today, I'm going to cause no more harm, I'm going to cause no more loss, and therefore I do deserve to be happy. I just think you've got to be open to change. The fact that change is inevitable and change is happening, and it happens all the time, big changes, little changes. So just take life in your stride. Nothing can ever harm you unless you agree to it.
I was going to say unless it's a bus or something like that.
Well, yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself. But I was very inspired. I'm always inspired by you, Sarah. You've just got a wonderful way of putting things, and you really do come from a place of truth and integrity. So although I say things like that, it's with real love in my heart there. I'm really feeling my love for you when I said that. So, sorry.
Don't say sorry.
I won't say sorry.
It's all good. It's all good. We've only got 30 seconds left now. So thank you, listeners. It's really great to have you on board. And don't forget, you're always welcome to join in.
Yeah, please join in.
Or even on our website, even on our Facebook site, you know, the Terry and Sarah Show, Dark City Radio, that's on Facebook. And each week I put the question up and then people put their little bits in. You're all welcome to join that.